Good evening, and welcome to this episode of Under the Helmet. When I look around the APDFL, there are pass rushers, and anyone who has looked at the top 50 for the last 2 years, a pass rusher has always been number one. Why? Honestly, between Carlos Kohler of the Lightning and Justin Robinson of the Patriots back then, but now of the Alabama Blackhawks, pass rushing is at a premium. If you have a pass rusher, you have a defense. If you have anyone to get home and disrupt the game plan, that's fine. You can have the best secondary in the world, but if you can't make that quarterback uneasy or uncomfortable, you're probably going to get picked apart. My guest tonight is someone who has made quarterbacks uneasy and uncomfortable for the better part of his entire football career. Georgia Thrashers, edge slash defensive end, plays a little linebacker. My guy, Darius Gillette. Good evening, Darius. How are you?
I'm doing good, my brother. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. Welcome to the league. First, we're going to talk about you. You left the Horsemen and went to the Thrashers. What was it about the Thrashers that drew you?
Well, the Horsemen is, like I said, Horsemen is a great organization. Hats off to the Horsemen. Like I said, I've been blessed to play with the Horsemen probably the last 4 years, maybe four years. So I played in the APDFL before with the Horsemen when they were with the APDFL for 1 year. I won the championship with the Horsemen twice. Also won in the IFL, and we also won in another league as well. So, Horsemen is a stand-up, organization. I actually did get to play for the Thrashers once before. They were actually our summer team. And we actually went to the championship and lost in the championship by 1 point off the field goal. So, my familiarity with the Thrashers, has always been it's like a second home, basically. So, Cam Adams, like I say, me and Cam go back. Even playing, like I say, playing against, technically he's wide receiver, so I never seen him because I'm going at quarterbacks. But, we played on opposite sides of the ball as well.
Now, you are an Atlanta guy, and what is it about football in Metro Atlanta that makes it this popular?
Metro Atlanta is just, like I say, it's the culture. Like I say, it starts with the kids. I also do coach Little League football as well. Right now, I got 11-year-olds coming up this year. But, it just starts with the culture of football. It's like, it's nothing like their Friday night. Friday night, going to watch a good game, get everybody out there in the stands. I know not right now, you can't do that with COVID and everything, but it's just that atmosphere. And then it's like saying Georgia is different. Type of ball, you got your, deep south, kind of the bigger lineman, more run heavy, and then up north, farther up in the further parts of Georgia, you got your finesse type, wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, so I always see a good guy somewhere.
Now you're from Jonesboro.
Yeah, Riverdale. Yeah.
Now that's home to like people like Tashard Choice, who went to Georgia Tech, I think. Harry Douglas went to Louisville, played with the Falcons.
Jonesboro, yes, sir.
Tony Douglas played with he was a first round draft pick of the Knicks. I think he went to Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Also the home of 2 Chainz, just randomly. Cam Sutton plays. He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm. Cam Sutton, yes, sir.
And Tamika.
Morgan Burnett, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. And the lady from the group Escape, Tamika.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at Jonesboro as far as the big picture, what makes Jonesboro Athletics underrated and so full of NFL talent?
I guess it's like the area. Like I say, it's a couple of schools out there that they get recognized and things like that. But when it really comes to like football, A lot of recognition is gonna come like from the inner city. Just kind of like the exposure, or you know, right outside of the city, when you got like places like Parkview. Then you can go up north to like Marietta, schools like that. They kind of get a little more of a you know exposure to those type of top colleges. That's kind of why sometimes you might be taking a drive to go play somewhere else, even though you may stay in that area, you know, to go play at another school just to get better opportunities. But I said, it's always been good talent that always comes out of that area. You know, not surprisingly, but let me say, you know, nothing else really we like to do down there, but you know, so football.
Now, when you look at the Thrashers jumping to the APDFL, the Horsemen jumping, Tigers, a bunch of IFL teams. Of those teams, are there any of those teams that aren't ready to play in this league?
I can't say not ready to play. I think like I said, the Horsemen didn't lose a beat. Like I said, the Horsemen, like I said, I did, you know, part ways with the Horsemen and everything, but like I said, they're not going to miss a beat. You know, that's their bread for it. You know, Thrashers just coming to make a good couple of good games in the league. Like I said, the Thrashers and the Horsemen actually played the Cobras twice last year. So, and all of them were great games. You know, that like, that, you know, all the games were pretty much, you know, nail-biter type games, greedy cash games, back-and-forth type games. And like I said, the Cobras is basically ranked number two, you know, basically in this whole league. So, you know, I think they can be a good shot. And the Tigers is like the little brothers. I think the Tigers can come in and make a splash. They'll probably, you know, play a couple of teams a little tougher than somebody would expect. So that's another team that I believe would actually do a good job in the league as well. So I think as far as coming in, you know, you got your better top two halves, like say the Horsemen and Thrashers. Like I said, well, just don't sleep on those Tigers. Cause, like I said, they hungry, and like I said, they're little brothers. So when you've been getting beat up on the, you know, top two teams for a while, you want to go beat up on somebody else as well. So I watch them too.
Now, I can ask the same question in reverse. Is the APDFL, are they ready for the influx of all the Georgia teams?
That's going to be the kicker. Because it's going to be it's going to kind of, I kind of say level the playing field out a little bit. Because I see it's a lot of teams in Alabama. I got a couple of ties in Alabama, actually. You know, I talked to a couple guys out there, like I said, with the Blackhawks, other teams like that. Like I said, I played in the APDFL a while ago. So I think with the Georgia teams coming in, it should get some good run for those top tier teams over there in Alabama, and it should be some good football play. You know, like I say, with those teams coming in, and like I say, you can't sleep on. Like I said, I did actually get to see the Georgia Noles play as well last year as well, and you can't sleep on those guys either. So, you know, it should be some good football play. So I think that actually makes the Eastern Division, you know what I'm saying, going to be a good tough fight. You know, to see who's going to represent the whole their trophy up on it.
The Noles have heart. I'll give them credit. They were in a couple of lopsided games in 2019, but they have heart. They didn't stop, and that's the one good thing. That's the hallmark of a good organization. Now, I know that in various groups around Facebook, wherever else, there's always been a thought of bringing all of the teams in one state together. Now, you and I both know that will never work because ego is a hell of a thing. Why do people hold on to that thought that if you bring all the teams, all the players in one state together, make one team, that will actually be smart?
I think people just like to entertain the idea of it. Because like I say, it would be cool. You know, it would be something cool that you could do, but like you say, egos plays a part, you know, with that. And like I said, I did have a solution, like I say, on my live. The only solution, like I say, you could do is, like I say, tier two guys. And then, like I say, when I mean by tier two guys, we're not talking about like just, you know, guys that is not there. We're talking about the guys that may not get as much shine. The guys that are probably still hungry to actually want to play, to actually come to practice. Cause, you know, when you're talking about representing the state, you don't want to just say, okay, we're going to put the best guys out there. And then, like, what if this person don't come? What if that person don't come? What if this person doesn't have chemistry? What if this person, you know, it's just too much to, you know, try to guess about. So if you got, like I said, you got the level two, tier two type guys that actually are come to practice, get to work in, actually learn plays. And like I said, you can still get your tier one, couple of tier one vet to come in, and that will come and make sure everything go good. That's the only way I can see it. But just saying we're going to just put all the best, nah, that roster would be like 120 players. it wouldn't even be real.
Now, particularly you as a pass rusher, like I said, I watched this film, and we're going to break this down. Now, you have played some games from a two-point stance. You have played some games from a three, even a four-point stance. Would you consider yourself more of a Leo than a defensive end?
It's funny because I was kind of told I was too small to play defensive end for a while. So I kind of just call it, yeah, it's kind of like a hybrid, you know, because I can put my hand in the dirt. I can also stand up. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the flow of the game, what's going on, what I see. If I see you just run heavy type team, there's no need for me to, you know, there may not be no need for me to stand up sometimes. Because if I know we got to get down dirty, we have to squeeze and feel, something like that, there's no need to not get down, you know, with the big guys.
One thing I did see is that the fact that you mix up and you vary your moves. You feature a damn good long arm, which that's a move that's hard to do because, one, you have to extend the inside arm to get to the inside part of the blocker's chest and be able to keep them, to be able to keep yourself clean. Explain how difficult that long arm is to actually execute.
I'm not gonna lie, I try to teach the people. You know, like I said, I'm a student of the game, and I'm always about the way people move their body. I've had to do things that maybe the bigger defensive ends, it may come natural or easier to them. You know, so sometimes I have to use leverage. It's all about leverage when it comes to being a defensive end. So, you know, when you come cross body, you got to extend. It's all about length. You know, you want to always make the offensive line uncomfortable. At that, they feel like they can't extend their arms. Makes them want to move back even further. And if you take that extra step backwards, then I'm just going to gain my foot inside, and then, you know, it's off to the races by then. And you got no choice but the one and two, which is to hold me or let me go and, you know, be great.
Now, you also, when you're playing on the left side, you will dip the inside shoulder, which would be your right shoulder, to surf under the block. How difficult is that one to teach?
That one to teach is, I actually learned it from Von Miller, just being totally honest. I watch a lot of different defensive pass rushers, also just undersized pass rushers as well. Miller is an excellent example of a smaller pass rusher. And he perfected that move, and it took me, I ain't gonna lie, it took me about a year and a half to actually get going with it, and actually keeping your balance with it. Like I said, it's a hard go, dip and go, but you know what I'm saying? If all it takes is that lineman to miss, you come up with it, and you come in full speed, and, you know, that backside showed up quarterback, they hate that because they can't see you.
It's that I see, like, the more the film, and I watched the film a couple of times, as I mentioned, it's the start of what they call a ghost rush, where you're going to come out of your stance, the block is going to come at you. If you get that shoulder dip a hair before that arm comes out, you won't be touched.
Mm-mm.
is that the ultimate goal? Will you hit that move?
Yeah, at the end of the day, my ultimate goal is not get touched by line. Like, I really don't like to get touched by line. I just like to touch quarterbacks. it's funny that me and Marcus Brooks have we got our own thing going. He always say, don't touch me. You know what I'm saying? I've always played against Marcus Brooks. Like I say, he likes to let the ball go fast. And, you know, he always be like, you know, don't touch me. Don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me. I've actually been blessed, actually. I'd say I've probably been blessed to probably sack every good quarterback in the state of Georgia, like, at least once. Marcus Brooks, he was a tough one. Like I say, you know, he always let the ball go. He don't want to get touched. But that's actually, you know, it's like I say, that's the ultimate goal, you know?
I've known Marcus for a while. He played with the Georgia Crush when I covered the old league that he played in, and throws a good ball. He throws a real solid pass, and he's one of these guys that, stepping into the Cobras, he had to replace Deion, and Deion was a hell of a quarterback. And
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what a full year with Marcus and the Cobras are going to do. Now, when you look at the Thrashers, and when you look at they have you on defense, who are the other defenders that we need to look out for?
We have an excellent safety, the leader of defense, which is Sid. He actually is the leader of defense. He's our safety. He actually played with the Thrashers last year. He's actually, I'd say he's he's the leader of defense. So I would actually watch out for him. We actually have a couple of corners that actually we'll take a look at. And then my other counter partner, actually have defensive line. It's just I can't go as far, but I will also look out for Tyler Penny and William Howard at defensive end at that line, because Tyler Penny actually led the IFL last year in sacks. Passed them if we was to count the playoffs, actually, you know, kind of passed them. But far as like regular season, he actually did lead the season in sacks. That was a good pickup for the Thrashers coming into this season. Just to have somebody else on that defensive line that's actually, you know, that's been there and done that before as well. So that front, like I said, that front, and then we also have a leader in the middle. We call him Jack. So I would actually watch him as well. I see a couple of them, you know, just so you can take a look at it as well. But just on those three levels, you know, those people I would actually, you know, take a look at them.
From the time you first left the APDFL into the time that you're coming back, what changed you as a player, as a person? How have you changed?
Just different approach to the game. Like I say, coming into the APDFL was a kind of like a humbling experience with the Horsemen. So like I said, we had came off a championship year coming into the APDFL. We knew the APDFL was going to be a rough league. We knew we was going to see some good competition. We actually lost our quarterback, I believe, probably first game of the year. So we went the whole year with basically like second, third string quarterbacks, and then we actually went to end up in a Wildcat formation, moved down in Louisiana, playing Louisiana Lightning. And we actually was in a Wildcat formation for probably about 75% of the game. So it was a good go. Prattville Patriots, another good team we played, Oak Block Chiefs. Played them as well. I actually played the Alabama Blackhawks actually a year ago. So hey, I know a couple of guys out there in Alabama. Like I say, so that's why I said the Eastern Division. And I've also been able to play the East London Predators as well. I was playing with the Georgia Chargers. So I'm familiar with a lot of the teams in Alabama. Like I say, Louisiana Lightning out there as well. I like good football, so I've been looking at both leagues, you know, for a while.
Wait, you play with the Georgia Chargers? The blue and orange uniforms, right?
Yes, sir. I was on the 56. Yes, sir.
I know you. I have watched that film. When y'all were in the GDFL.
Yes, sir. We played the Cardinals in the championship. Yes, I was defensive player of the year that year.
That's why the name sounds familiar. Damn.
Yes, sir.
I watch a lot of damn film. Good Lord. I remember it now. Yes, because they were in the GDFL 1 year, and then they changed ownership, something like that.
Yeah, they changed ownership. Yep, that's what it was.
I remember that because they had the Boise State looking uniforms, which were tight.
Mm-hmm, with the big horses on. Yep.
Yes. I remember those. Now,
yes, sir.
Who's the one quarterback you're looking most forward to sacking in the APDFL? Who's the one guy you're like, yep, he's on the list?
I want to touch every quarterback. I want to sack the I want to say in the Eastern Division, I've probably been looking at – I always want to sack Brooks. Like, Brooks, I always want to sack because it's just watching Brooks. He let the ball – if you watch Brooks, the ball is gone within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
The ball's gone. So it's like you can't – and then with the rules, how the rules are now, you can't even pretty much breathe on the quarterback. If the ball's gone, you can't really much breathe on the quarterback. But that saying that nothing should be done, so – Brooks is always on my list. I'm not even gonna lie to you. That's probably like the guy that's always on my list. And I always wanted to sack my opposing quarterback, who always been my quarterback, is the Western quarterback. I've never been able to sack him in a real game because he's on the team.
He has talent. He throws a good
Quentin
ball.
Rucker. Yes, sir. Quentin Rucker is nice, strong guy. So like I say, he's not gonna go down with a grab,
Now, how excited are you to be playing in different locations in different stadiums against teams you haven't played before?
I kind of do my homework, and if not, I always just treat the game as I always do. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. Those are all different games. To me, it's one big game, but it's like those are like four mini games within the game, if that kind of makes sense. That's how I look at when I approach the game. So what I may be doing in the first quarter, I may not even be doing in the fourth quarter. Or it may be a combination of what I've done in the third, or it may be something that you've never seen throughout the first three quarters. Fourth quarter is my favorite quarter because by the time the fourth quarter get, a lot of people are gassed, ready to go. The game may be tight, things of that nature. That's my favorite quarter, fourth quarter. So fourth quarter, you're probably going to see another guy, just of what I watched throughout the game or what I've done throughout the game. And like I say, it's not always about getting the most sacks a game. I feel like if I can shut off the side of the field, that's just like having sex all game to me.
What advice would you give to 16-year-old Darius as a football player?
If I can give advice for myself, I would say don't worry about height. Keep grinding and go to school. That would probably be... main thing, say make sure you go to school, man. Everything else, it'll be here. Promise you, it'll be here.
Now, like we talked about, you're stepping into a pass rusher friendly league because you have a lot of pass rushers. You have the one thing about the APDFL, they have more pass rushers than they do quality offensive linemen. That's just fair. That's facts. It's hard to find offensive linemen, and there are a bunch of pass rushers. You played against the Augusta Ducks in the video, and the guy you played against was one of the early, I think it was him, the right tackle from the Ducks was either him or the left, no, it was the left tackle, but one of those players was on the top 50 list, and you beat him by giving him like a Euro step. And his feet kind of like, he stepped in the bucket basically. When you line up across from a tackle, even before the ball is snapped and you don't know who it is, or you've already done your homework, can you tell by looking in their eyes that they're going to be worried?
Yes. First thing I always like to say, I'm always going to look at feet placement, hands, things of that nature, technique. and how you look. If you're sitting about 300-something pounds, you know, and you look kind of heavy on your feet, I already know what time it is, and it's not going to be good. Because that means I'm not going to get close enough to you, so you're not going to touch me. And then if I do get close enough, I'm going to make you reach, and then I'm still going to try to get right by you. But some people, like I said, some people I don't get to see film on, and some people I just, I just feel them throughout the game. And the mind is a terrible thing, because I can get up in your mind worse than, I can mess with your quarterback at the same time. But once I get an offensive lineman mind and he's checked out, it's going to be a long day.
When you get into offensive lineman's mind and they're defeated, say if it's in the first quarter, does it get any better for them the rest of the game, or they're just done?
I'm going through games where I've played against like 3-4 different linemen, just in that spot. I've had tight ends coming over there to just say, well, I'm just gonna block, over there. I've had running backs stay at home all pass plays just to, help out the block. I've seen it all. But like I say, it's just something about just being, just knowing that you have the dominance to just shut down a side, and just have it to where nothing even is gonna play that way, a pass, a run, or nothing, or even making a team one dimensional, making a team that may run the ball all the time, making them a pass, making them feel uncomfortable, and making them play to your scheme. That, like I said, that's special. Like I said, I work hard at trying to get it and just trying to, be the best every time I just step on the field. And I want everybody else to, be the same thing as well on my team. I shouldn't have to second guess it, once I step on the field. Like I said, that's just always, it's always a goal, when it comes out there. But, yeah, it'll be a long day. I always going to say it'll be a long day.
Have you ever saw a teammate when you're in, even on the sidelines or even in the huddle yourself, and you're looking at them in the eyes and they're not there, they're not ready? Do you try to coach them up, or do you talk to coach, hey, you need to pull this guy?
It depends on the severity. If we're in a big game, what I'm saying? I'm always going to coach you up regardless of what's going on. I'm always going to be positive. But if you're hurting us, if you're constantly hurting us, then you got to do the best thing for us. And if for you not to be selfish, you have to, take yourself out of that position and let the next man come up, because that's basically what the team should have been built around before anyway. It kind of sucks when some people say they just want a top-layer team and just have people that are just going to start. But, people after that is just kind of some toss-ups or some other guys. It depends. But most of the time I'm going to always coach up my brother, make sure he's going to, make sure we can work through this. If there's something I see that you're not going to work through, then, yeah, we got to get you up out of there. And like I say, you got to let your other brother come in so he can handle this. Because we can't be selfish at the end of the day.
You said you watch a lot of NFL pass rushers, like your Von Millers, like a Khalil Mack. Are there any under-the-radar NFL pass rushers that you watch that people should watch more of?
I like Montez Sweat with the football team. I watch him. Like I said, he's a little bigger. Who else do I watch? DNs.
I think sometimes folks tend to focus too much on the size of the and as far as what they play. Quick story.
Yeah.
I'm from Connecticut, and I had a friend who was a Pop Warner coach and then coached in high school, talked about this kid named D. D was an undersized linebacker slash defensive end. He was about 6 feet, 6'1"-ish, about 220, 225. But yeah. Kid was fast. Kid had a spin move, just freakish, like put his foot down. And so I went to, so I saw like film and stuff. The guy's like, watch, this guy is going to be somebody. Fast forward. Oh, he got a scholarship to Syracuse. Okay, going to see what this guy does. Oh, he got a little bigger. He's like 235, 240. Okay. He got drafted. He's like 260, 265. Little D became Dwight Freeney.
Oh, yeah.
Was never the biggest, was never the strongest, but was one of the better pass rushers you will ever see. He won with...
And that's where I got my spin move from.
And with his spin move, and with yours, I've noticed you do something that with your spin move that very few pass rushers do, and I've tried to explain it to him this. When you finish the spin, your outside hand... No, your outside hand should be almost punching a guy in the back. That's how you clear him. If you let, if you spin and your hand is still free, he could still get that arm up. But if you clear him by putting that arm away, you're pushing him aside and you're actually pushing yourself up the field. Little touches. Yep. Now, you're in Atlanta. You're in the Atlanta area. Where is the best place to eat?
Where's the best place to eat, man?
Don't say Waffle House.
No, Waffle House is like Waffle House is what you eat at nighttime. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really eat at Waffle House in the daytime besides, like I said, probably like the older people in the morning. They probably going to be in there. But we're not going to eat Waffle House until it's about 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I like to go to a lot of different places. Like I said, different black-owned businesses as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I venture out. Gutbusters is a good place I go to over there. It's got a couple of them on the east side. Of course, Five Guys is like
expensive.
You're gonna pay like $25 going there. So
like half a cheeseburger.
I was like, dang, I bought a burger and it was how much? $17. What?
So I'm sorry. Can I get some money for you? Can I get some change?
My goodness. But yeah, I just go to various places. Like I said, I try to support, you know, say our businesses too sometimes. So sometimes I may just order places from them, just to show support for those, because sure, we buy so much fast food and support those type of businesses. It's like, why not just, you know, give back to our own community and, you know, people.
As someone from Georgia, you've seen probably the state change over the course of your life. How has Georgia modernized and become a shining example of what other states in the South can be?
You mean like far as like football?
No, life.
Oh, life. like I said, it's taken a lot of change. Like I say, especially out here in Atlanta, there's been a lot of change, a lot of movement going on. As far as like the culture, demographics, you know, or people, how they're strategically moving us around. But I think Atlanta's always going to be a good thriving city. And I actually have a lot of opportunities when you do come to Atlanta, but I'm not influencing anybody to move to Atlanta because we are overpopulated. We're trying to get rid of people at this moment, you know. But like I say, it's a good city. To thrive, and like I say, to push your goals and stuff like that. Like I said, they always say it's the new Hollywood, I guess. But to me, like I said, I like it because it's very familiar to me. You can get around town. It may take you a while with traffic. You know, with COVID, it's been a little better, but it's still a lot of traffic. That's why I say we try to get rid of people because it's too much traffic, even though we got 8 lanes, which is crazy, but we still got crazy traffic. But I think it's in a good direction, especially with you know, everything with the, you know, the new political stuff they had going on and everything as well. So I think it's, you know, it's trending in a good direction. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying, we can try to make things a little better in the state of Georgia, hopefully.
It's funny you mentioned how Atlanta is overpopulated. Being from Connecticut, I remember being a kid, and I have two nieces and about seven cousins who moved from Connecticut to Atlanta. And then everyone I've heard, like my brother, he actually moved to Atlanta. He actually moved to Atlanta, so he actually bought two houses in Atlanta. And yeah, it's just people go down and they just don't come home. They just, nope, gonna move here now.
They just be like, yeah, I'm just gonna stay. And I'm like, no, go home, please. Guys, you add another car, you add another space, you like, you gosh, I'm adding another person that's gonna be not paying attention, or, you know, don't know where they're going, so they want to get over at the last minute. Like, it's just,
if you could pick one rapper from Atlanta to say that this is the greatest rapper that this city or this area has ever produced, who would it be?
Ever produced in Atlanta?
Ooh. Greatest ever.
I'm always, just because, and I hate to be biased, but I'm not really biased, but Andre 3000 was probably like the best to me.
Facts.
To me.
Facts.
That's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. And then a lot of people argue with me, you know, and say it's somebody else, but I just, to me, it's probably him to me.
Well, Outkast is the greatest duo ever, and that makes sense that he'd probably be the greatest Atlanta rapper ever. This, like, to me, it's hands down. It's not even close. Like,
You know, I get a lot of arguments, especially with the younger crowd. You know, they gonna say somebody else, and you gotta, you know, you gotta hear the T.I. But I'd be like, no, you got, you know, I like T.I. You know, don't get me wrong. But Andre was just on a different, he was on a different level, and it was before his time. Even though when the time came, he still was on a different level. So
T.I. started strong and was just killing it. Then just kind of, okay, he just kind of was there, and
yeah, he just kind of mellowed out. Yeah, he just mellowed out. And
Andre was good from beginning to end.
Yeah, so I get the argument off. That's the barbershop argument. You know, everybody gonna always argue, oh no, I was such did this and so much, sold all these albums and did all this. Like, I understand that, you know, but if we talking about just good rap,
We have the true or false part about Georgia itself, Atlanta, the whole area. True or false, Evander Holyfield is the greatest athlete to come out of Georgia.
That's a tough one. I'll say true.
Oh damn! I didn't. Okay.
We'll say. I really want to say false. I want to say the greatest athlete. He probably was the best boxer, but I want to say the greatest athlete.
Who would you say the greatest athlete that Georgia's produced, outside of Charlie Ward?
I would say, because Hines Ward was good, and he's from my neck of the woods, being that he was from down there in Forest Park. But Calvin Johnson, I believe Calvin Johnson was from Georgia as well.
Mm-hmm. Cam Newton is too.
And Cam. Shoot, even Champ Bailey. Okay, well, how about this? We'll just say it like this because he's still old to this day. He still could probably kick somebody butt to this day. I'll say Herschel Walker.
That's fair. That's fair. Now, speaking of Cam, speaking of Calvin Johnson, how did the University of Georgia not be able to keep those guys at home? You got your Nick Marshalls. You got your Charlie Ward. You got your Cam Newtons. How did they go and play in other states?
To me, a lot of people didn't want to hear it because a lot of people are Georgia fans. When you out here in Georgia, I've always been a Tech fan, kind of, just kind of by default. Now I'm more of a Georgia State fan. I kind of like Georgia State and how they're coming up, even Kennesaw.
Coming up.
But I don't think Georgia was ready to have that being taken over by someone like that. Like I say, you know, DJ Shockley, he did have a good career at Georgia. You know, nothing against that. But for the most part, it's always been, it wasn't us at the quarterback position. And I didn't think they was going to recruit him out of there anyway, which was kind of funny that Trevor Lawrence kind of slipped out of Georgia as well. But, you know, that was another story. But just far as, like, Deshaun Watson, Cam Newton and all that, it was just common that I seen with my own eyes. And I think if they did give him a scholarship, they probably wanted him probably to play at another position, maybe wide receiver or something like that. And they kind of weren't going for it. So I think it was a good choice for where they went to, you know, ultimately. But I just think Georgia wasn't ready for, you know, quarterback like that.
Now, being a Georgia State fan, can you explain to people how good Penny Hart was at Georgia and how at Georgia State, and how good he will be with the Seahawks if he sees field time?
Oh yeah, and like I say, he was very underrated because I say a lot of people don't see him, and you don't really get to see Georgia State like that. So he's flying around. He's gonna be flying around the field, and people gonna be asking like, he's low kid. Oh, okay, low kid. So it's going to be exciting for me to see that. And I like to see people from Georgia State, because my cousin actually went to Georgia State. He played basketball there. He had the record until R.J. Hunter broke the record of most threes in the game. That's what I like to see. I like to see those type of schools, you know what I'm saying, flourish and come up, because we always see the Georgia. Like I said, Georgia right now is, you know, it's been like RBU to me. Wide receiver's been kind of shaky, but it's really been RBU, and that defensive line or that linebacker core that's been coming through Georgia. So, you know, I like to see some good football. So I watch Georgia State and Georgia Tech sometimes. Even though Georgia Tech has changed his offense, which is kind of more appealing.
They went from the triple option.
Yeah, to the spread. So. Triple option, like I said, if you don't like really watch football, you're gonna be like, man, golly, they're gonna just play again. But it's really different variations of the play. It may look the same, but it's a bit different variations of the play. So that's what
it's hard to defend.
To me. It's when you got 10 people moving at all times trying to do something different to block somebody, and only one person got it's very tiring. You know, playing against it. It's not as easy when you look at it on TV. It's not that easy. So, you know, but it is, like I said, it does get boring, though.
You got to be disciplined. You got to be disciplined to play against, because if you guess wrong, you leave a giant hole and they're going to find it, and somebody's going to probably go 50 yards for that touchdown.
Yep. Somebody, Gene, you didn't even think that. Back. He's like, how you just burnt like that? You ain't going to do it. So I already know what it is. So it's one of those things, like I said, you got to keep being disciplined, even though you feel like you're being rocked to sleep. And the minute you shoot inside because you've been playing the outside technique, you shoot inside, boom, they keep it or they pitch it, and now they're breaking off the 60. So.
It's funny because I got family, like both my grandparents are from Buena Vista, which is north of Macon. So it's like middle west Georgia. And they've always had the debate. And as somebody from Georgia, let me ask you this last question. If you had to choose, you have peach cobbler, pecan pie. You can have one for dessert for the rest of your life.
The rest of my life. I'm getting peach cobbler.
That's a smart man right there. That is.
For the rest of my life, yeah. I eat peach cobbler every day for the rest of my life if I was forced to.
Now, actually, second to last. Magic City or South Beach?
To me, since I lived in Atlanta, I want to go to South Beach.
That's fair.
I want to go to South Beach. Even though Magic City is
special.
It's special, you know what I'm saying? But when you stay here, you've seen it for a while, and then you kind of maybe even know a couple other girls. you know what I'm saying? You don't look at them like you look at them when you never seen them before. So it's kind of different, you know. So that's kind of how the Magic City goes.
We definitely will be looking forward to watching you play for the Thrashers, and good luck to you in the rest of the season. My man, this has always been a pleasure. We definitely will have you back. In fact, what I want to do is, I saw the live, you said how you wanted to endeavor with trying to get something similar. So I'm going to do this. Once a month, I'm going to do a different state, and they're going to do like a football report about the teams in the state, which means that being a Georgia representative, we will have you on once a month to sit there and kind of take the pulse of the Georgia teams in APDFL and see who's up, who's down, who needs work, and who's balling.
That'll work. I'm with it. Because I got a group. I already scattered the group. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 teams in Georgia. So, yeah, that'll work.
He is our new Georgia correspondent, my man, Darius Gillette. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, my man.
Thank you for having me. Like I say, I hope y'all, see some good things from me. Number 13 coming to y'all from the Georgia Thrasher this year. Like I say, I will make sure I stay in contact with you. Like I say, we can do this every week, like I say.
Yes, we will definitely have you on once to meet our Georgia correspondent. This has been an episode of the Under the Helmet podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Stay out of Magic City.